That's not the major point, though. There's something you are going to have to settle in your own mind before you will be happy. This stupid importance you attach to death. Don't you realize how completely trivial it is? 200 years from now, you, I, and every person now living in the galaxy will be dead. What does it matter if a few of them are helped along and reach their destination a bit quicker? They'd do the same to you if they had the chance. You're wrong, I insisted, knowing that there is more to living and dying than just this pessimistic philosophy, but unable in this moment of stress to clarify and speak my ideas. Angela was a powerful drug, and my tiny remaining shard of compassionate reserve didn't stand a chance, washed under by the flood of stronger emotions. I pulled her to me, kissing her, knowing that this solved most of the problems, although it made the final solution that much more difficult. A thin and irritating buzz scratched at my ears, and Angela heard it too. Separating was difficult for both of us. I sat and watched unseeingly while she went to the vidiphone. She blanked the video circuits and snapped a query into it. I couldn't hear the answer because she had the speaker off and listened through the earpiece. Once or twice she said yes, and looked up suddenly at me. There was no indication of whom she was talking to, and I hadn't the slightest interest. There were problems enough around. After hanging up, she just stood quietly for a moment, and I waited for her to speak. Instead, she walked to her dressing table and opened the drawer. There were a lot of things that could have been concealed there, but she took out the one thing I was least suspecting. A gun. Big-barreled and deadly, pointing at me. "Why did you do it, Jim?" she asked, tears in the corners of her eyes. "Why did you want to do it?" She didn't even hear my baffled answer. Her thoughts were on herself, though the recoilless never wavered from a point aimed midway in my skull. With alarming suddenness, she straightened up and angrily brushed at her eyes. "You didn't do anything," she said with the old hard chill on her words. "I did it myself, because I let myself believe that one man could be any different from the others. You have taught me a valuable lesson, and out of gratitude I will kill you quickly, instead of in the way I would much prefer." "What the hell are you talking about?" I roared, completely baffled. "Don't play the innocent to the very end," she said, as she reached carefully behind her and drew a small, heavy bag from under the bed. "That was the radar post. I installed the equipment myself and have the operators bribed to give me first notice. A ring of ships, as you well know, has dropped from space and surrounded this area. Your job was to keep me occupied so I wouldn't notice this. The plan came perilously close to succeeding." She put a coat over her arm and backed across the room. "If I told you I was innocent, gave you my most sincere word of honor, would you believe me?" I asked. "I have nothing to do with this and know nothing about it." "Hooray for the boy space scout," Angela said with bitter mockery. "Why don't you admit the truth, since you will be dead in 20 seconds no matter what you say? I've told you the truth." I wondered if I could reach her before she fired, but knew it was impossible. "Goodbye, James DeGriz. It was nice knowing you, for a while. Let me leave you with a last pleasant thought. All this was in vain. There is a door and an exit behind me that no one knows about. Before your police get here, I shall be safely gone. And if the thought tortures you a bit, I intend to go on killing and killing and killing, and you will never be able to stop me." My Angela raised the gun for a surer aim as she touched a switch in the molding. A panel rolled back, revealing a square of blackness in the wall. "Spare me the histrionics, Jim," she said disgustedly, her eyes looking into mine over the sight of the gun.